That's the word from Lana Bosser for Angel Session 4. Where's that? The Lord showed me a word that the enemy was attempting to place like a blanket over many believers right now. And the blanket said, breakdown. It was a lie from the enemy to say that things are about to break down rather than break through. The Lord clearly showed me this again is smoke and mirrors and a lie of the enemy. And God's people must not align with the lie of the enemy, but continue to decree the word of God and what he is saying. Again, when you see something, don't go by what you see, go by what you know. A lot of the things we know are invisible, okay? Like, you know, the young man that's over there, we look at him the natural, we go, ooh, feel bad. But we need to look to the invisible and go, who is this guy in the spirit? What's his purpose? What's his calling? And how valuable is he, you know? And get an understanding of that, just not valuable to you personally, but valuable to the planet, right? And we start realizing what's going on here, and we start getting more of a non-Western point of view, but an Eastern point of view, and go like, the life of one person can affect nations, right? And you're going, well, what can he do? What can't he do? So we're going to, so we can get off of that, you know. And anyway, so don't get caught up what you can see. Get caught up into what almost you can't see. Like, we can't see God. Anyone tells you they see God, you're kind of, oh, you know, you really don't see God. But I believe in God. I trust in God. And if he says something to me, I do take a risk in acting on that. But it's always paid up. Okay. So I'm now learning to trust things I can see more than the things I can't see. Okay. That's not her word. Anyway, so continue to decree the word of God, what he's saying. Do not be in a place of passivity that fear is attempting to create. Don't be passive. But stand up and decree the word of God. Yep. The Lord spoke to me that there's a monumental breakthrough and a blessing upon many. That is why there's been this intense battle before yet another monumental shift and breakthrough. The enemy yet again is speaking opposite of what the Lord is saying. That's usually, you know, that's a good rule of thumb, opposite. You know, it's not the best rule, but it's a really good rule. My wife calls it the rule of opposites. The enemy is saying breakdown. God is saying breakthrough. In the reign of his blessings, I saw the enemy attempting through fear and foreboding to cloud and skew vision and perspective of the season. The enemy is attempting to skew your vision of what God wants to show you, release to you and the perspective of heaven in this season. And that's what happened to King David. And this, the Bible says, and you know, I was wondering one day, why in the world did David do the Bathsheba thingy, right? And I'd wondered about that for years. I was like, what? I mean, he had all these women. He had a wife and concubines. And then he wanted another one. And right down the hallway, he had God in the ark. So he had a lot of options, and he took the worst of all those options, right? And I kept asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And I finally got the answer. The answer was, oh. It says that in the time of spring, kings go out to war. So David was in the wrong place. He wasn't supposed to be in the castle hanging out. He was supposed to be in the front lines battling. But when you're out of place, then you're open to wrong doors, right? So just be where you're supposed to be.
Wow.
Yeah. So just like here. So the enemy's attempting to skew your vision on what God wants to show you, release you in perspective of heaven in the season. So David, in this case, was skewed by what he thought he should be at instead of where he knew he should be. Okay. The enemy is whispering to many what ifs and so many lies, and now is the time to pick your sword and fight. Okay, getting close. In every battle, take faith as a this is a cool version of the Passion Translation, it's Ephesians 6, 16 through 18. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect you from thoughts, your thoughts from lies. And take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword, the spoken word. So that's the Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 17, 16 through 18, the Passion Translation. Now, angel part. I heard the Lord speak over these ones in the battle. So, keyword is those in the battle. So, in a battle, you're either fighting or you're being fought against. If you're passive, you're like, and you're just taking a hit, right? being the battle of the Lord, you need to be attacking, okay? And being, so the strategy, God rarely has you draw back just to run and hide. Now there's a comeback to his shelter for safety, but when you're in the battle, it's attack. It's not, I'm here, hit me. Okay, that's not the deal, right? So I heard the Lord speak over these ones in the battle. Okay, it's not the ones hiding, not the ones being hit, in the battle. There are more angelic hosts surrounding you now more than before. Okay, so if you're in the battle, more angels. The enemy, through fear, is challenging the protection and provision of God over many, causing doubt in the hearts of many. But the Lord has dispatched more angels to you now than you have had before to assist you and minister to you. He is your wraparound shield. And so I her word was much longer than that, and you can go on Facebook and look up Lana Bosser and that date, and you can get the full word if you want that too. But the part that I'm going to talk about today is really about that last part there. He's dispatched angels to assist you and minister to you. We're going to talk about that more, about their role in assisting and ministering, okay? So FYI, so every time I'll be throwing in these, by the way, tell them, okay, angelic resources are only for a short period. They're only for earth time. Okay, so while you're on earth, you have great access to angels. And you all know your earth time is a little bit of your time, right? There's earth time, and there's infinity, or eternity. Little time, a lot of time. Little time, a lot of time. Now, I get confused because I think this is all the time. This is not all the time, right? This is earth time. It's this bit in the middle, you know, and infinity is from that wall to that wall, and this is earth time. So we're here for a lot of reasons. One of them is to learn how to work with others. These others and those others. But it's a short period of time. That's probably a whole long message. But be aware that we have a short period of time here. Thoughts on that? You understand that? Okay. So that just means we gotta be more active than passive. Because earth time, the rules, like, I played football, so the rules of on the football field, earth time, are accurate. But those rules in football are not the same rules that apply on one of the heavenly realms. Whole new game, okay? How, you know, when me and Gwen are on a different planet, there's less gravity. Well, you'll know when we are. When me and Gwen are off doing something together in another realm, we need not go, darn it, man, I wish I would have let Gwen speak during session 4, but I didn't, so now that we're in a different realm, I don't know how she can do, because I didn't let her do, you know, what we learned here, we could apply there, but it's different rules, right? When we get there, well, I think you're supposed to lead. Nope. This planet, Gwen, you lead, because you're one woman here, and I'm just nice Wally. I don't want it to be that way. It's not what we want it to be. We apply the new rules in a new place, and we need to be a quick learners, right? And not hold back to what we think. Lean not upon our understanding, but trust in the Lord. When we go other places, we get to bring our trust that we've learned here, there. Not our experiences here, there. Things we experience here may or may not translate to there, right? So we learn here. The biggest thing that we can't take with us is trust in God and love. And you brought that up last time we were here. Love and life, we can take those lessons everywhere. But how well I teach, that only works here in earth time, right? A lot of my talents, a lot of our talents are here. There are other talents for there, but right now, the things that for sure we can take is our ability to love and ability to trust. And that can go everywhere, okay? So get it good here so we can play good here. Practice here, play here. All right. So the scripture, I'll go there. We're still doing intro. I said last time that it was cool that we did two sessions in the month of Adar, and we're finishing up two sessions in the month of Nisan. So 2 + 2 = 4, and 4 = Dalet. And I talked about open door. In Passover, you have a lot of fours. Who's gone to a Passover Seder?
One. You went last night.
You went last night?
Mm-hmm. Have you been to one?
Oh, yes, I
have. Cool. So you know there's the cup, you drink of the cup four times, right?
I want a real wine. We just got breakfast.
It's okay. It's about the cup. Not what's in the cup. Okay, we're good. You know. And there's the four questions. I don't know if you remember that part in the deal. Mm-hmm. And then I guess in some versions there's four signs. Anyway, there's a lot about four, right? We talked about that already. In the last session, I dealt with engaging the angelic, and we talked about like Zechariah, right? And go back to the message, and I talked to you about my travel story. I want to end off that deal. Did I tell you about, I forget if I told you here or not, the time where I know an angel named Orion, I know an angel named Holiday, and they helped my wife out. Did I tell you that story?
You didn't go into the details.
Okay, so again, this is a story about how I'm still figuring out how this, because I didn't understand. So one day, I went to the barn for my wife. My wife's an equestrian. I am not. I'm just a financier, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I rarely go to the barn with her because usually I go, I'm working a whole lot. This time, I went and I was there, and I was reading a book outside of the big barn waiting for my wife to come out and do her thing with her horse. While I was reading the book, and this was like maybe a year after I had written my book on angels, and maybe a year and a half after I'd actually started to engage with them. Anyway, so I wrongly make up rules by every experience I have. I'm better right now changing my rules. I used to be very rigid. No, I'm sorry, this can't happen now. Yeah, I used to do that. But anyway, so I read my book in the light, and in my peripheral, I see with my eyes open. So Holiday is a white horse with wings that somehow is an angel. I don't know how that works. And on her back, Holiday's back, is an Orion who rides, and why they ride, and it's a different story. But what was weird to me was I saw them when I wasn't spiritual. I wasn't expecting them, I wasn't looking for them, and my eyes were open, I wasn't, you know. So I was like, I'm sorry, this can't happen. It's daytime. I'm reading, I forgot what book I was reading, but we're at the barn, not at worship, not at prayer time, not. So there's, what's going on, right? And I'm thinking like, what are you doing here? And why can I perceive you? So we can don't get caught up with seeing, because seeing is, we get caught in the word. I could perceive them standing right here. So just as I perceived them, with my natural eyes, I see my wife and her horse come out, and I'm like, now, for those who have wives, you're supposed to give all your attention to your wife, you know, or your spouse. And I'm like, but my. And so then I'm confused, like, I wonder if my wife's horse can see the angels, because I've heard that animals can see stuff, right? But I don't know, because I haven't talked to animals to say, hey, can you? But I look, I go, can Al, that's my wife's horse, Al. I turned to Holiday, I said, can Al see you? And Holiday said, yes. And I was like, what? And then Holiday said, but Al is not his name. I went, what? I don't want trivia information. I want spiritual information. I want things for me. And I thought, why would you tell me that Al is not his name? To me, that's not valuable information. And valuable information is that animal can see you too. I'm not sure why I can see you, but it's daytime, the book. And I'm like, okay, more importantly, how do I handle you two and those two and me all together? You know. So wife starts trotting around. And she's doing something, she comes back around, and all of a sudden I know that she's supposed to hang on and not fall off. And I'm thinking, why am I thinking hang on and not fall off? And then a few seconds later, the horse starts bolts. And sure enough, she's bouncing off, and instead of hanging on, she does fall off. And the horse goes that way. The wife goes down. I'm up, you know, to catch my falling wife. Like I'm far away. I'm not far away. I'm 30 yards away. I'm fast, but not that fast. So I see her hit, and I'm like, what? Now I'm thinking, like, so I go over there, pick her up. By the time I get there, she's already up, and she's off chasing the horse, and I'm trying to figure out what I need to do. Do I need to call 911 or da-da-da? The horse doesn't go. The horse used to be a racehorse, so when the horse bolts, it's gone. But for some reason, it's not gone. It's someone brings it back, and I'm like, brr. So everything gets calmed down. Wife goes to, not to beat the horse up, but when you get thrown off the horse, you get back on. You got, you know, you got to undo the bad habit, right? So she's off doing that. I go back to my seat with my book, and I go, okay, wait a minute, time. This should not happen. Because in my little journey, I'm thinking, like, where I am, if I'm supposed to be growing up to be a king, I should have dominion over stuff. Nothing bad should happen on my watch. That's my personal belief. But something bad happened. My wife fell off a horse. So then I turn to the two angels assigned to me, and I go, hey, y'all aren't doing your job right, because you let my wife fall. And they say, look again. I go, oh, look again. Why saw my wife fall? And they say, look again. So I looked again. So you can replay time and watch the event again. So I watched the event again, and this time I saw something come out of the ground, something black, that the horse owl saw, that caused him to bolt. And then when he bolted, before I could get there, Orion caught my wife's head and laid it on the ground, and it didn't slam to the ground. And horse Orion flew across and stopped Al, the racehorse, from going across the field. He only went 30 yards, which is like
nothing.
You know, it's like, that's like two steps. I'm like, how did he doesn't stop? I mean, he's raced on the road before. I mean, you know, in traffic and all kind of stuff. So, yeah, so, and he's very fast. He's a racehorse. He's a retired racehorse. Anyway, so I was like, so I apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't see you catch my wife, and I didn't see you stop the horse. But why did the black thing come out of the ground when I'm here? There should be no black thing allowed to come out of the ground. And so that was still a question. They didn't answer that question. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a better understanding of the situation than the natural, what I saw. And I'm thinking, what do I tell my wife? I want to tell her both, well, she knows version one, because she was, but she doesn't know version two, I don't think, right? And I'm thinking about how to tell her, and they say, don't lead off with our story. Wait till she asks. I'm thinking, she might have asked, because she's very strong in her equestrian world. She knows equestrian stuff. She knows I don't. So she's going to tell me what happened. And I'm going to go, no, I've got two angels. So I've got to hold my tongue. So sure enough, after everything, we get in the car to go home. She says, let me tell you what happened. And I'm like, you know. And she tells me her side. And I'm like, And she rarely ever asks me what I think in this realm, because this is her realm, right? And after she spends 12-ish minutes, or we got a 45-minute ride home, she says, do you have anything to add? And I was like, that's a miracle. I was like, that was a miracle. And I was like, and again, when the door opened, I was staring at the door. Oh, my gosh, the door's open. Well, I'll wait, go through the door, you know. And so I caught my composure and brought down my excitement, because I was very excited at the fact that the angelic realm was actually engaging in my day-to-day real, you know. And that was weird to me. That was new to me. I mean, same time type thingy. And so I said, well, let me share with you what I saw. And so I tell her, and I'm expecting her to say, no, that didn't happen. And so I tell her everything, even the part about Al's name is not Al, and what Holiday said, I want to, this part I left out, when she said that Al is not his name, I said, what? And Holiday said, it's not his name, but he likes the fact that Cheryl likes his name. So it's okay. I thought, that's stupid information. So I tell him everything, and I throw in the little owl name part. And because of the owl portion, she believed everything else. Now, to me, that did, but it was the relationship thing that tied the whole stuff together, okay? So, all this, again, another story of how we can open ourselves up by our belief and expectation to allow the angelic realm to not invade our realm, but to interact, right, in our day-to-day stuff, right? So, questions about that story or Zechariah or New Zealand travel angel?
Are you going to be speaking more about the whole process of opening to these mystical experiences? Or is that another lecture?
There are some...
I think it's another lecture.
There are some pointers at the end of the session that will speak to that. Good question. But again, it's still scratching the surface, right? But the bottom line, though, starts with belief, right? Believe all things are possible for those who believe, right? So understanding spiritual things are possible if you believe. If we, like me, I'm Wally Johnson, started with skeptical and no way. That's where I started from, you know? So, but I moved into, what if? So I went from skeptical, not believing to, to what if this is possible to, let me check it out, to kind of believing to, I think I'm going to disbelieve. No, before I started believing, it was like, okay, explain to me why. Give me some understanding. And that was a long deal of, the understanding was kind of cloaked by unbelief, if you will, or doubting. Then once it was like, okay, so you're not going to tell me more, so I have to believe. It was like a line I had to cross. Okay, I'm going to choose to believe even though I don't understand. And believe that understanding will come later. I used to have to understand, period. I wouldn't come to Lynchburg if I didn't know why. You know, I wouldn't come to Lynchburg without directions. Okay, just go. But what if I get lost? All the what ifs and fears, just like that. So now I'm getting better at just acting what I hear. And so that's the key thing. The more experiences, it's taking the risk on what you believe. What if it's a demon? What if it's bad? Well, you're going to find out. You know, you're going to find out, you know. But it's better to act trusting God than to not act trusting God. Does that make sense? Kind of sort of. But very good question. And when we get to the end of it, what I was going to say is you have access to me. You have my email. You don't have a cell phone number, but we can get that. But for those here and those there, for all the questions about stuff, there's always, please contact me. Okay.
When you mentioned the horse's name is not Al,
yeah.
I'm thinking his name is Allah.
I didn't ask.
For your holiday, angel, holy day.
Yeah, it is holy day. Yeah, it is exactly right. It was funny when I met them, I didn't hear their names, but I could see their names, right? And so when I saw the name, I said, holiday. And clearly he said, no, it's holy day. And I went, no, holiday. I'm trying to tell them their name, right? No, it's holiday. No, it's holy day. And I was like, okay, you know your name better than I know your name, so we just met. And Orion was spelled O-R-I-L, like Orion. So I said, oh, you're Orion. It was like, no, I'm Orion. No, you're Orion. So lots of times we try to make things fit with our understanding, okay? Now, Al was a name that, so Al, I forget, Al, you know, all racehorses have a long name, right? His short name was Al, right? And so in that, I forget his long name because he's not my horse, he's my wife's horse. And so, and she bought him as a retired racehorse and converted him to a jumper, okay? And so, again, I'm not an equestrian, but a rider and a horse, they have a special relationship. And horses are something different. They're very empathic and stuff, and there's a whole different thing on that. Horses are special, okay? They're just special. He didn't tell me his real name. Holly didn't tell me his real name. And all he said was, he likes the fact that Cheryl likes that name. That's cool. Okay. We're done with intro. Yay, intro's over. So if I was going to title session 4, I would title it, angels, comma, ministering spirits, okay? And so the scripture that comes out of is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read those two verses from the King James and from the Amplified. And that's what I'm going to do. So, but to which of the angels said he at this time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And the Amplified says, besides to which of the angels has he ever said, sit on my right hand, associated with me in royal dignity, till I make your enemies a stool for your feet? Are not the angels all ministering spirits, servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? So, again, there's a handful of verses in the Old Testament, and even less than a handful in the New Testament, kind of talking about angels. I don't know why that is. It could be because we get fascinated with things. Sometimes we think that's the most important thing. Angels are not the most important thing. They're important, but not the important thing. Okay, so maybe that's why there's not a lot of teaching on there. So I'm going to bring out some characteristics out of this one verse. It's just really out of the word ministering and out of servants, right? But the key thing is really the verses above that, because everything is relational, okay? Everything that we read, definitely in the New Testament, it's best understood from your personal relationship with the living God, okay? Jesus came to help you reestablish your relationship with your Creator, okay? From that understanding, it's best to read everything else, because it's a different deal. If you read the Bible without help or relationship, it reads one way. It reads a different way. I read it growing up thinking there was this king named God, Creator, who was mean and wanted me to do something. And I didn't know what he wanted me to do, so we didn't talk about it. And so it was very adversarial, right? Then I heard some people talk about hell and how I was going to hell, and I didn't like that. So again, adversarial, right? Then other people said, well, God loves you. I said, well, if God loves me, what's a hell thingy, you know? And so then for a long time, I was just thinking he was very bad for having a hell, right? So I'm 55. In the last probably 9 years, I'm now reading. So for 80% of my life, I had a wrong understanding and relationship with my Creator. Okay. And in this last 20%, or this current, not last 20, I'm not ending. In this current 20% of time on the planet, this is my last will and testament. You guys are here to witness. No. So,
Cheryl will take care of it.
Thank you. Here's the book. Just make sure it gets to the right place. I'm just joking. But really, this last, really, maybe 10 years, I'm now viewing myself from his perspective. I'm now viewing the word from his perspective. I'm now viewing people from his perspective. I used not to like people because people hurt me, right? And people sometimes are good, sometimes are bad, so therefore put in the category. But God loves people. I go, oh, how do you love people? You know. And so I'm learning to see things through his eyes, right, because of my relationship with him, right? So without relationship, you see things on your own, right? And sometimes you see things good, some things bad, but don't do that. So this scripture talks about things that God sent out. Are not angels ministering spirits sent out in the service of God? So these angels were sent out in the service of God to give assistance. Now, if you don't have an understanding that God likes you, loves you, is on your side, you'll go, oh, I know what they're sent to do. They're watching over me, and they're going to spank me. That's what I thought they were doing, you know, waiting for an opportunity for me to mess up and to punish. I had this punishment view because of, I don't know where I got it from, but I had it. And so, so again, life is different when you see it through a loving creator's eyes. It's just totally different, okay? It explains a lot of things, or it gives you patience to some things you're like, nope, doesn't, can't explain it. But the love of God will help you endure a lack of understanding. I mean, things like why someone's born a certain way, why someone died early. Well, my mom died 4 years ago out of no reason at all. And so if that had happened 12 years ago, I'd be still blaming God today, right? But I'm not blaming God. I still have a question about it. But it's not an angry question. I'm not in a, how dare you, don't you know who I am? That's not that. I'm still the, okay. But I now know today, in this past year, that I'm still not ready to hear the answer. Okay? There's a whole different story about that. But I know it's not a good answer. Because, you know, God, some scriptures says God takes no pleasure in the death of anybody. So there's none of, you know, I took them and all this stuff. That's wrong. Anyway, so again, life will look different if you start looking through his eyes. Now, you won't look through his eyes until you realize you have the invitation to look through his eyes, right? And if you don't take him up on the invitation, then you won't look through his eyes, okay? So I have two categories here. I have, there's a category for, badly name these things. I've got candidates for service and candidates for full service. Okay? So there's partial service for angels and there's full service. And so if you're born on earth, you're a candidate for angelic assistance, but not full service because you're not believing for it, right? Like the bikers I told you about earlier. I didn't talk to them, and I didn't talk to them individually. Some of them, I believe, are believers, but I don't know if they're believing for their angels to do things. And the word that I had for them, it was, there were two grandmothers praying and believing. I wasn't sure the guys were praying and believing for their angels. Didn't know them, not judging them, I just didn't. I saw them as I was going to the bathroom and went, huh. Went to the bathroom, got a word for them, and came out and went, huh. I walked out. So, I should have gave the word, and I, you know. So service, as in God loves everyone on the planet. Angels are for everybody, period. They're not just for believers or Christians or those called to or whatever this group, church called. They're for everybody, okay? They're not tied to denomination or religion. Everyone born on the planet has at least one angel there to go, hey, I'm here to help you out, okay? Now, I categorize it full service, just because it's the only word that came to mind. So, for full service, or to fully utilize, have access to these resources called angels, I believe it helps to be a member of the kingdom. And you've heard that membership has privileges, right? So, I thought of it, I used to fly a lot, so I was in different frequent flyer programs. And my status wasn't based upon how the airline thought of me. We like Wally, we'll give him gold status. No, it was all about my frequency or my utilizing their service. If I utilized their service a lot, I got more benefits. If I utilized their service a little, I got less benefits. And I thought, is that how the angels work? If I believe and engage, I thought, well, there's this principle called sowing and reaping. So if you never engage your angels, I don't know if you get the full use of their, if you allow them to have the full access to what they want to do in your life. It's like, for Wally, someone comes and says, hey, or simple things, here's a notice from Amazon that there's a package at the post office. Do you believe the piece of brown paper from the postman? Or do you go, I don't trust this, right? In the spiritual realms, you hear a voice, you go, is that my me making it up? Is that my consciousness? Was that a dream? I'm not going to act on what I just thought, so I don't get the benefit of following it out, right? I have not taken advantage of little notes left up by my postman because I just don't think so. Or notes left at my desk by people, hey, you should go check this out. No. So same thing, I believe in the, again, it's not based upon your self-worth or your value, it's based upon do you believe and would you want, do you want their assistance? I was reminded of when I took advanced life-saving. When you, as a lifeguard, if you're out there saving somebody and you're bringing them back in and they start to struggle, one of the things you do is you say, stop struggling. The second thing you do in your warning is you dunk them, you know, help them calm down. If they cannot calm down, the rule is let them go and save yourself. I was like, when I first, I thought we were out to go and save them. But do you want two people to drown or one person to drown? Okay. And so when I was reminded of that last night or today, with in light of angelic, you know, when an angel starts to help you, do you resist it because you don't understand or you don't want that? And they'll go, okay, fine, we'll stop, you know. But it's about, are you willing to let someone help you? Again, the scripture is, they're sent from God, sent out in the service of God for your assistance, okay? You can refuse the assistance, okay?
You think that people refuse it on a conscious level?
No, they don't. Fear. I mean, fear is, we fear things that don't happen. We fear what could happen, right? So, like, it's not on a conscious basis, right? No one would, you know, if you saw me $100 in my hand and I said, here you go, you wouldn't take it. But I've been places. Hopefully, you would. The first time I spoke at a British church, and I talked about, you know, acting on what you see, and I pulled out a $50 British pound, 50 pounds, and it took a minute for the people to respond. I said, "Whoever wants this money, come get it." And they looked at it like, "He doesn't believe. He doesn't mean that. He's just saying that." And I'm like, "Whoever gets this money," and they're like, they're staring and wondering, is this a trick? It's a scam. He's going to pull it back. He doesn't mean. And we did the same thing. I don't know. This seems to be going to play out, but I don't know. So we doubted. And they don't think that people were afraid of taking the money. Someone finally did, but it took over a minute. You know, I'm saying, like,
well, Wally, you can see the money. You can't see the angelic.
It's true. Correct. But again, it's the same thing. They couldn't see the fact that I actually. They didn't trust me, and they didn't trust my word enough to come and grab the money at 0 seconds, right? Mm-hmm. Even when the kid did grab it, he sat down, his mom goes, give the money back. He didn't mean that. I was like, why are you putting your doubt and fear onto your son who acted on faith, you know, and get it? And it was this whole teaching on, no, I did mean it. No, you didn't mean it. You're just an American. It was all this whole stuff. Now, on the invisible, it's like, I mean, we've had those little nudges don't drink that, don't eat that, you know. And I was like, I'll do what I want to, I'm going to eat it anyway, you know. But when we get a simple nudge, you know, I'm saying we should start acting those nudges. I used to go, where's that nudge coming from? That's not for me, because I've already studied this up, and I know that this Taco Bell has been, I saw the certificate of food approval, it's a rating A, so it's okay to eat here. But there's been a few times I've been like reminded to pray over my food. Like, do not eat, pray now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what? And I don't know where the voice comes from. Is that a voice, a little reminder? And now I act on those things, you know. I used to go, nah, don't worry about it. So I think it's not a conscious thing. I now choose to believe and choose to not need to have three paragraphs of why, right?
Okay.
So now some people don't even, even with the three paragraphs of why, still won't do it, right? Some are raised, if you hear a voice outside of your head, it's demonic, so run away. So they've been taught anything outside of their head is bad, you know? And so that's a fear teaching, right? And that guidance from their authority, whether it be mom, dad, teacher, whatever, religious leader, that's what their new rule set is, right? And mm-hmm. so they won't change that rule until they test that rule, right? You know? And unless they're challenged a little bit, you know? So like coming into this four sessions about, hey, angels are good. I didn't say worship them, they're good. Give them a try. That's the whole basis of the four sessions, right? And some people from here or audio, whatever, will still won't. They're like, no,
really?
I've heard. Yeah. People. People are people, you know, they're going to...
I'll take any help I can get. Lord have
mercy. No. They're a whole denomination.
Of course, you're open to it.
You're open now. But the fact, we have denominations in America that think that a piano is demonic. They don't have music at all in their gathering. I'm like, what? You know, because I watched a sci-fi thing last night that said that. And, but there's some that don't have it who just don't have it. Some don't have it because they think it's evil. There's two different groups there, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? Okay. I grew up, you know, I was, when my dad went to Korea, when we stayed with my grandmother, so therefore, the rule of dress was coat and tie to church. And grandma was in church a lot. So I went to church with the same tie a lot. But I was growing, which meant that there was a clip-on tie, I was suffocating. So I grew up with a hatred for ties, right? So all my life, I mean, from fourth grade until, even to now, I hate ties. Now I wear a tie now when I go places, but I still don't like them, right? Because of my bad experience. Traumatized as a little kid.
Grandmother traumatized you with
the tie? No, the tie. The tie traumatized me. I had to wear a tie, and I had, you know.
He's choking him. He's growing. Right?
I was
she
growing.
She kept putting the same tie on him when he was
same big. Tie, same shirt, you know. Yeah. One white shirt, you know, and my next one.
And while he's growing,
yeah. And so you understand. So anyway, so in my unconscious deal, I'm hating ties, and ties are the devil. And I go default. I go to Bible school in Sweden, and I find out there's a group in Sweden, I mean a group in Russia, in the Ural Mountains, that believe since a tie is pointing down, is demonic. I thought, yes! I agree with them, you know. And so there's a whole group of people who agree with me that ties are demonic. Because I don't know where they got that, but I learned that when I was in Sweden because I went to Bible school with Russians. I thought, yes, they're right. You know, and now that's not, there's no scripture for that. But I'm just saying, they believe something and we act on what we believe. However you got there, I got there because I was choking at age, in fourth grade, how 10, 6, whatever the age it is. I believe they're of the devil because I was choking. The Russians, I don't think they're all, you know, same thing. But that I heard, yes, I'm not alone. You know, kind of deal. So why we believe things, that's a whole different teaching.
Yeah.
And why we believe and what's in your subconscious and how you undo that and how you reprogram yourself, you know, how you deal with your fears, why are you fearing that, why do you believe that? We're all weird, you know, how we get to what we do, right? But the simple thing is, what do you mean? Why would you try to say, well, there's a whole long reasons why, you know? If you watched half one of those movies, you know, there's a movie out, it's been on HBO for the last month called Legion. And Legion is about angels and, you know, they're not. If you watch Supernatural, you get on the CW show, the teaching from Hollywood on the angels gets you very confused. I mean, it's like, I've watched a few of them, I'm going, okay.
I know.
And so it's, the Bible talks about it one time, it calls it the doctrine of demons. The doctrine of demons is any teaching that's not from God, right? Now, there are teachings not from God, they won't lead you astray, but there's a lot of not correct teaching on angels through Supernatural, the show called Supernatural. Very popular show, and nice acting, and it's free, but it's this way, right? And there's other teachings that get, and then it's just like, what? I'm watching going like, okay, that's right, but no, 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 yes. But that's for the, I mean, I'm just like, is someone actually checking this out, you know? So anyway, so there's lots of teachings on stuff, right? And we need to, anyway.
You have to have a spirit of discernment about yourself and be willing to look in the Word and mm-hmm. say, that's not what it says, or that is what it says.
And most people are passive or lazy and won't check it out, right? I mean, in the Hebrew culture, study is a great thing. In the Western culture, study is like, I don't study.
No, just hit Google.
Just hit Google, right? Yeah, so.
That is study.
No, it's peeking, whatever it is. I mean, on
a tool of study.
Yeah, on the Sabbath day, which is a day in the Hebrew culture, one of the highest forms of worship is study. Okay, mm-hmm. Getting to know. Okay, we're closer to wanting to see or hear something, not really experience it. So this big gap, right? And that's why we know things in part, and it takes us a long time to get our parts together, because we are kind of passive in seeking things out. We'd rather go to a conference than go to God. It's kind of our default, you know. Conferences are really neat, you know. We got worship and stuff, you know. So again, to be a candidate for full service, knowledge or growing in knowledge and less ignorance. And the way we grow in knowledge, not just head knowledge, but experiential knowledge, is by trying things out, you know. The stories I share are not to go, I've got stories. It's like, what? I'm going to check that out, you know, experiment and see. So if this is true, well, it's like God's no respecter of persons. Everyone else is. all of the beings. So the stories are to give you a nudge to, wow, I can do more than just read about angels. I can go, hey, excuse me, is there one or more or a dozen that have been assigned in my life? I believe, as I've taught that, well, I haven't said these words, but with your scroll, things that you're asked to do or that you signed up to do, however you look at that, I think there's all the resources. So this is your book that the Bible says of Jesus, I was sent to do all that was written in my book. We all have a book. We've all been sent to planet Earth to do what is written. Some people believe that you wrote what's in here. Some people believe that God wrote what's in here. You can debate that. But anyway, there's a book with what's written. And so I believe all the resources needed to do what's written in the book have been given to you. You have all the authority, you have power, and anything from the kingdom. Jesus said, or Paul said, wrote down, every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father of lights so that you can do the stuff, right? So there's no excuses. Now, we can be ignorant. I don't think I can do it. Well, that's just you looking at you. Yes, you looking at you, you can't do it. But you look at him, you go, oh, I've got direction. I've got these angels. I've got wisdom. I have friends. I've got. So I've got a team. We can do it, you know. And God before you, and against you. Let's go do the book, right? But you have to believe that. If you choose to believe not that, then you're not going to do it. So your level of belief versus ignorance affects what you do with your life. Ignorance is just staying passive and not growing in the things of God, growing in grace, growing in maturity, growing in Him, find out who you are. And finding out who you are is important because you will, if you believe like I believe, I thought, oh my gosh, look at those angels, they're all this big, according to the movies, and angels, and they've got wings, and they're shiny. I'm too dirty and too busy doing my own thing for them to be talking to me, so I'm not going to pursue them because I don't know who I am, and I'm busy. But once you get comfortable with who you are, and you get the fact that God says, I sent, as it says here, sent for your assistance, then you can go, hey. And then they can go, hey. And then you start figuring out what's going on. But if you think that you're like unworthy of their assistance, then you're not secure in your identity. So being secure as a child of God, a son of God, or whatever nice word you want, helps you relate to them, okay? Interaction. So once you start believing they exist and believing that they're here to help, then you need to kind of engage with them, right? And actually, you engage with them. It's best out of your relationship with our Creator God, right? So, the first time I remember doing something, instead of allowing an angel to help me, I was sent to help an angel. I was like, time, that's out of my paradigm. I thought they're here to assist me. And there was like, anyway, so when I started speaking a couple of years ago, the Lord said, okay, go where someone invites you, and da-da-da. So I had these rules. So I did that for 2 years, and then one day the Lord said, okay, I want you to go to Toronto. I go, no one's invited me. I know, but I'm sending you to Toronto. I go, no, but you said last 2 years ago that I was supposed to go to invitation only. Anyway, I need you to go to Toronto. I said, okay, but I'm used to the rules of invitation only. So I'm prepared. So when I get direction to go, I usually get a wonderful message. The message starts growing in me, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is a great message. So then as I get closer to going to Toronto, I say, wait a minute, I can't just go and say, hi, Toronto, here I am. Because I don't have good faith for that. So I called my one friend in Toronto and said, hey. And I never want to push myself on anything. So I go, hey, I think I'm supposed to come there. You want to pray about it to see, okay, I prayed about it, but did you agree? And they finally agreed and said, yes, come. I said, yes, great, good. And I said, I wasn't still comfortable with it because I felt like maybe I manipulated, I wasn't sure, kind of deal. I said to God, okay, I'm trusting you, but I felt like I don't know, they weren't sure. I said, why do you want me to go? And he said, I want you to go because there's some angels there from the Toronto Blessing that need to hear your teaching. And I went, tilt. Because I don't teach angels, I teach people. I tilt. And I went, what? And then he said, and then there's other angels that are just curious. Tilt. And I thought, who's speaking to me? And then I thought, what? And I thought, okay, fine. But wait a minute, can't the angels come to me? I mean, why should I waste my time to drive, because I was going to drive all the way to Toronto, Canada, across the border, and da-da-da-da-da. Can't they just come to the bedroom and let's have a chat?
Yeah.
This is a simple question, right?
It seems more time efficient.
Time efficient, for a lot of thinking, good use of our time here. He didn't answer me back. I said, excuse me, I have a question for you. I have an appointment. You better answer my. Didn't answer, and I was like, "But I, to my mind, it seems like to me to be easier." And so, as we now, one of the benefits of driving there was I drove with my daughter. So it was nice father-daughter time. We got to go to Niagara Falls. I always wanted to show the falls to my daughter because I'd gone there as a little kid with my dad. I wanted to, So there were some benefits, but still, I kept thinking, "Couldn't we?" And because me going there to teach them was still kind of, So I pushed it aside to where I just made that up. And I was just, whatever. I get there and stay in this house. And right before I speak, like a few hours before, the Lord says, tell the people why you're here. I go, I'm not going to tell them I'm here to speak to these angels and not them. Because, then why are they here? oh, you don't need us? We're going to leave. We're not going to spend the time here to talk to some weirdo or listen to some weirdo who's talking to the angels of Toronto. And I thought, God, they may not understand, because I don't understand, kind of deal. I was okay with taking my daughter here and seeing the Niagara Falls, and I was justifying the drive, justifying seeing my friend, a lot of justifications. None of it was obedience. It was just, I was making do. So I'm like, oh, God. So I'm still learning to do things based off just what he says, and not like, could you give me a why, please? And a why that makes sense to me and to them and everybody else so that I can be received. I want to be accepted. And I'd never spoken here. I only knew one person, really. Over, Facebook typing or whatever, and a few phone calls. But it was a room, it was a basement full of people, 20 plus people. And my daughter, who I had not told about the real reason we were going to go. And so I said, okay, we had phenomenal worship. And so I said, okay, well, all right, this could be a short meeting. Wow. And so I said, okay, I'm supposed to tell you why I'm here. And I really did expect people to leave. I don't know all, but some. I mean, I would have left. I would have left the meeting if someone said, I'm not here for you. I'm here for these angels. So you can, oh, you're not here to talk to me? So I said, hey, I came up to Toronto because, there were, during the Toronto Blessing, which started in some year, I think 94, and they were from Toronto, and some of them had been to the meetings and stuff, and there was thousands healed, and the revival touched the world. So I said, well, I believe that, and sometimes you have to speak out what you believe. Sometimes you just can act on it. But I felt like I was supposed to say, believe one, there was angels at the blessing, and they were okay with that. And I think they're still here, because the revival thing had died. When I got there in 95, I spoke there in March of 2015. So three years ago, ish ago. So I told them, I said, hey, I'm here because I'm supposed to speak, teach something to the angels that are in this territory. And there's another group that just are curious about what I'm talking about. I remember angels are not omnipresent, so they are, localized-ish. But what I want to share is they're angels are territorial. So there's the ones that go with you, wherever you go. There's others assigned to territories, okay? So like this property here, there are angels assigned here who are waiting to do things here. There's angels in Lynchburg that have not been fully activated. Part of it, when that prayer meeting thingy, and Lynchburg Praise did some things, didn't do all things, but did some things. But the angels that are assigned to a territory have to be continually engaged, right? They're assigned there, but they get their orders or other direction from the people who are here, the ones that are in the battle, right? The ones who are just spectating on the sidelines, they're not listening to them because they're not engaged in the conflict. So angels are attracted to gatherings and active assignments from God. So the Toronto Blessing was a move of God's angels were there, and for some reason they were still there. and for some reason, I don't know the reason to this day why they needed to hear what I had to say, which I was like, I don't think I'm saying anything deep. But angels are not omniscient, as in they don't know everything. They know some things, but not a lot of the things. So they learn a lot from us, okay? So the angels that are around you and the angels in the territory, part of your role is to engage, to add your part. They have a part and you have a part. And so if you don't do your part, then there's no whole, okay? And so when I announced what I was there for, I was expecting ridicule, laughter, and leaving. And they didn't laugh, and they didn't leave, and I was surprised. And then we went on, right? I was having communion one time, and as I was bringing the elements, I was using orange juice and omelet. And as I was bringing, I think, the omelet to my mouth, it felt like there was someone looking over my shoulder. And I looked, I thought, and it was two. It was Free At Last, an angel that I just met, and Promise, who I just met. They were looking over my shoulder, watching me do communion. And I was like, what are y'all doing? Try, this is a private moment here. Like, trying to be holy or something, you know? And I looked at them and I thought, certainly you've seen this before. I mean, I don't do that often. I'm kind of, you know. And I realized in that moment, they don't know stuff that we know. They do not know or experience the union that we can have with the Father. They do not grasp what Jesus did on the cross. They know he did something on the cross, but they don't understand the depth of it. And they're not created to know the depth of it. They're created to respond to the act of it. We are allowed to know the depth of it because we're allowed the mind of Christ. And we can share with anyone what that means to us. And the angels that are assigned to us are going like, hey, can we know? And this is part of the, you know, sharing things, you know, with your natural friends. You know that that restaurant's a good restaurant. Do you keep that information to yourself or do you share it? I keep it to myself. But if I'm a good friend, I share things that I've experienced. Experiences that you have, there are experiences that you have that an angel can never have, but they can glean from what you share with them. Okay? And you can share with them two ways. One, by da-da-da-da, by speaking. Another, by living. And the biggest way to share with anyone is by living out. Be a living testimony, not just a, you know, actions speak louder than words. So it's like, I remember the first time, summer and a half, and I thought, that was weird to me. Like, what? Don't y'all know this? I remember I was at a worship thing, and one time I saw this lady, she was doing something with flags and stuff. And I was just, it was beautiful. And the thought came to mind was, this word was like, tell her thank you. I was like, I'm not going to tell her thank you because I don't know her. And it was not you. We are saying thank you. We who? And there was angels watching her and learning worship from her. We can worship God in a way they can't. We have a greater capacity for creativity than they do. So they were learning dance moves from that lady. So they could apply, they could express their love to God by using those moves. So it added to their repertoire, right? So I told the lady, I found it in the crowd, I go, excuse me, I just wanted to say, your angel say thank you. Because I didn't know how to explain it to her, you know. And she was like, what? I go, well, they're watching you. And most people believe that angels worship better than we do. Because they've been doing it longer. They've been doing it longer, but not better. Because they have a different relationship with Creator than we do. Okay. Jesus didn't die for angels. Jesus died for us. Right? We relate to him better or differently than that. Creation relates differently to angels and God than we do. It's just a different deal, right? Yep. Question
on no.
On no?
On them knowing.
Yep.
So in a situation where you're wanting to engage with an angel to dispatch them, do you, like, I remember the story where you had the five chairs in front of you, and how does informing them enter into that? Like, do you feel like you need to inform them, or do you feel that's an individual situation?
Everything's an individual situation. So again, that was, it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of experience. So I thought the only way to communicate with anything was by speaking. Okay, so I actually spoke out loud to the five chairs. So I believe that the Bible is clear that there's faith, but faith without works or action, it's faith is dead. So my action was speaking out loud what I thought to do. Now, how much of what I said, they didn't know, a different story. But I wanted to engage them. I wanted to, one, acknowledge they existed, acknowledge their purpose, And I thought by telling them where I needed help, it was new news. So whether that was the part, you know, like, well, we know that. But what they did know was, do you believe we exist? Are you living like we exist? So my talking to the chairs was activating my faith, okay, and engaging them and acknowledging them. So that's the part I could do. So looking back on that, so now I now know that I believe they exist, but now how do I engage them? Mm-hmm. Now, is that getting 5 chairs out? No. It's like, so when I met Travel, today, on the way down here, I said, okay, Travel, I remember you told me you're here to help me go to and fro. So how do I act on that truth? Did I talk to you today about going down to Lynchburg? Did you see it on my calendar? Do I have to tell you every time I go? I don't know how that works. So just in case he doesn't read my calendar, I should say, hey, it's the 31st, or last night.
Yeah, the 31st.
Last night. So on the 31st, I'm going back to Lynchburg. So be with me on the way down, the back. Do you already know that? Should I keep telling you that? Did I need to remind you? Should I tell you about April? Could you know? Do you eavesdrop when I'm planning? Or should I actually have planning sessions with you? I don't know. You know. So, but my experiment is, just in case I do need to have the extra meeting, I'll default to extra. And then hopefully either the Father will correct me, Holy Spirit will correct me, or I'll learn from experience that. But I told you, the time I traveled to Dallas and got to the airport and my flight was canceled, I was mad at Travel. I said, hey, you're not supposed to cancel my plane. I shouldn't have canceled flights. And Travel said, you didn't talk to me about this trip. And I said, I thought you knew. I knew. Mm-hmm. Then I went and apologized, and then we were working on it together again. And then there's a whole different step. So somehow we have to communicate. Now, whether that's, can you see the sign? I wrote down that I'm going to, you know, I mean, I don't know how it is, but there has to be a this way, right? So what you communicate, you can default with, read my mind. I'm thinking about Dave and traveling to whatever. Whatever it is, they're not deaf, for sure. Can they read the intentions of your heart? Not sure, right? So why default to hoping they do, and do all means, write them notes, have a meeting, whatever, and then go, by the way, which way works best, right? Just like people, some people are verbal. Some people, I had one friend, as soon as she got iPad, iPhone, FaceTime, she only wanted to FaceTime with people. And I'm like, I don't want to see you. She was visual. I must see your lips move. I'm like, what's up with that? My lips are moving. You can hear me. No, I have FaceTime now. We will FaceTime. And so I put on FaceTime, and I had the phone down. I can't see you. You can hear me. I see the ceiling. We're not talking until I see your face. That's just who she was, right? And she made it clear. I'm not talking to you. Oh, I'm going to talk to you. Well, if we need to FaceTime. So that was me and her trying to figure out our best communication style. I don't know what your angel's best style is. Find out, right? It's an experiment. It's not that they have to reply. You go, wow, I planned a trip. Nothing happened good. Next trip, I'm going to do a pictorial and go at 3 o'clock. To figure out what works best, you know? So it's about communication is an art, not a science. And what works with Wally doesn't work with Gwen, you know? So, So again, that day 5 years ago, that's all I knew I could do in communicating was, now I didn't know they were there, but I was acting what I believe. I believe that God was for me, I believe I had angels, and I had 5 chairs. If I had 6 chairs, I'd have 6 chair. I didn't have 6 chairs. You know, I had 5 chairs, right? And so, you know, I have 5 angels, I have 5 chairs. No, I could limit like that, but it's probably more. That's where I started, right? So if someone wanted to come here every Saturday and talk to all these chairs, I think you could have as many that you talk to, or as you talk to, but it will grow, right? I mean, because you, as we, like it, like in a physical workout, the more you exercise a muscle, in this case of belief, the stronger it gets, right? So when I speak to my angel, I don't doubt as much as I did 5 years ago. I was hoping a lot, but not believing. Hoping is like, hope this works. Believing is, when I come here, I don't test these chairs. Now, at my dad's house, there's a chair that, for those who can see, this little part works its way out, mm-hmm. and I have to pop it in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I have no faith in that chair. You understand? Mm-hmm. I don't sit in it without checking here. Mm-hmm. The chairs here, I don't check the chairs. I have full faith and confidence. Sit down, I'm good to go. Same thing with your angels, right? Until you're full, you're going to test it and see if it works. But after a while, you're going to trust and go on. You're going to establish that. Sometimes it takes time, effort, experience, right? But that's all relationships work best with time, right? The first time I met, Dave met me, honey, where are you going? Well, Wally Johnson's coming to see. Wally who?
This is Brian.
Brian,
you got lots of Daves.
I got there lots of Daves. Dave.
When Dave.
When Brad came, so I met Gwen first, right? I met Gwen in Atlanta first, right? And then, so Gwen had me for a whole week, Brad met me at in Lynchburg at Amy's house, right? For maybe an hour, mm-hmm. right? So relationships grow in time. So Gwen had, 10, 12 hours of me, at least. Brad had 1 hour of Wally. Who had more faith in Wally?
That's pretty good. I experienced Travel Angel. I saw it.
Yeah. So anyway.
Wow. I saw it.
But the point being, it's time, right? So if you choose not to engage with God, Holy Spirit, whoever, you're going to have less trust because you're not engaging, right? So on the angels, it's like, start wherever. Start with, okay, got your name, understand your purpose, so since that's your role, can you help me here? If not, tell me who can. Or should I just talk to God? And go from there, and that's my, I recommend. Good question. Anybody else?
Yeah, about complication.
Complications.
It's very difficult to keep my relationships going in like a concrete, focused life. Now, I have all to worry about communicating with all these angels in a certain way. Isn't there some way to make it all more simple?
Yes. I say that yes because I had the exact same question when I haven't found this historically yet. I mean, I want my facts, but according to another guy who spoke, that there was a priest, monk, one of the guys, who was engaging, who knew 120 angels by name. I thought, 120 angels by name? What? So I was like, what? And so they brought him to the tribunal and said, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to have 120 friends, name angels. You're allowed to have five. Five that are in the book. Raphael, Michael, just the top five, mm-hmm. right? And so I'd heard about so supposedly that court case kind of shut down and closed down the door for people having engaged with angels as a whole. You're worshiping 120, stop that. You're supposed to be taking care of stuff. So when I heard about that, I was like, how do I take care of my small group of friends, I can see? Do I have to talk to 120, and I believe in time and relationship? I don't manage the feet of the five I can see. Forget 12 and 20. I'm like this. I'm just not going to do it. And I just said, I don't have time to manage five more, forget 120, right? So I had the exact same question, and I was like, it's like one of these, I'm not going to do it. Now, I did that based upon my understanding of me, my understanding of my patience and liberty and love and my limitations, okay? And based on me, you're right, I couldn't have one more relationship in my life. You know, forget three. And so we were quiet for a long time on that topic because I was, no. And then one day, I was someplace and someone was in there like praying about friends and families and states. I'm like, how do you have the time to pray for friends, families, and states and all that? And I was just like, what's the difference? And I asked the Lord what the difference was. I didn't ask that before. I asked the Lord. The Lord said, because their heart had been enlarged to hold more. And I was like, what does that mean? And so I've seen The Grinch Who Stole Christmas probably 100 times. And The Grinch Stole Christmas, and for those who haven't seen the show, his heart grows to speak. And I was like, so does my physical heart have to grow? No, but the capacity, so God placed eternity in our hearts, according to Ecclesiastes. So as I understand it, we know God has capacity to talk all of us and 1 billion zillion people at one time and stuff. And I'm not looking to do a billion, but all things are possible with love. Okay? And if I allow the Lord to give me the love for this list of people, then I have the ability to stay in contact with them. If I need to, in light of fulfilling my call and fulfilling the desires of my heart, things are on my heart, and I need those resources or relationships, then I can go to God and say, well, give me the capacity to love so I can have time to engage with them. Because love gives you time and patience and the ability. Love makes things possible, right? Now, Wally, in his little brain, cannot conceive of how to manage wife, daughter, friend, state, leaders, presidents, all that. I can't, right?
Yeah.
But if I rely upon me, impossible. If I rely upon God, possible. And then he makes me able to, okay? And so, now, the strategy of every individual is a little different, right? For me, it starts with, one, believing it's possible. Two, allowing him to expand my heart, which was, I was resisting it, okay?
Yeah.
I was resisting, because what I knew, the tricky part was, if I let him enlarge my heart to love, that means that I'm now acceptable to hurt. Mm-hmm. I hate pain, okay? And I don't want to feel pain, right? So it's like, I can't expand if you don't let go of it. Well, I don't want to feel that. You got to feel the good, you got to feel the bad.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but what if it hurts? Well, it hurt, but the joy, you know, Jesus endured the cross, great pain, for the joy set before him, right? And I was like, I don't understand that. Well, I don't understand it, just believe it. I don't want to. Okay. Now, based on my willingness to believe certain things, it stopped my ability to have more stronger relationships. Okay. Now, when I still keep meeting people who have, who have now accepted that, I go, okay, I'll stretch a little bit, you know. And so, for me, it's like I have to read some biographies, autobiographies, meet real people who are allowing God to be bigger in them, or allow the heart to be bigger in them, so they'll have more relationships, so that they can deal with 120 angels and 120 friends and 120 people that are helping, all that which is beyond human reality, and not losing your mind. Because in the natural, you lose your mind, and people go off and do strange things, you know. But in the kingdom, you can do a lot of things, right? You can be the Mother Teresa, like, well, how does that lady, you know, I mean, how did Billy grow? Well, you can't. It's not natural, you know. So, but we're now, we don't have to stay natural, right? We can go lean out upon our own understanding and trust the Lord. And if we trust the Lord, he will lead us. It says that the sons of God, those who want to mature, are led by the Spirit. And that word led is all kind of things. I mean, I wrote down it's to drive and to do this, but it's basically to go a way that's not normal to you, okay? To go the way of the impossible. We're called to live a level of impossible, right? So based upon you, you can't do it. You can't have more friends. You can't, because it will stretch you thin, right? And we go, why don't we stretch thin? And we pause. We go, well, do you want to remain human? Yes, I want to remain human and not go thin. Okay. Oh, well, what about that person? They're keeping 85 relationships strong. Well, they're not acting on human stuff. Can you show me how that works? Yes, I can. It's a process, right? And we're all a little different on the process. But it starts with, I trust you, and I'll let you stretch me. I'll let you love me enough that I accept more love so I can love more. Okay, because we love because he first loved us. It's a cycle. But when we stop and go, it's enough. I can't take any more pain. Well, can you take some more joy? Yes. Well, there's a pain package come with it. I don't want the package. That's an individual choice. All right. So, that's my answer.
Got it.
Okay. Good question. So again on the I did that for. So on the the angelic FYIs, they said again. They were like, if you guys believe in artificial intelligence and if you follow what we've done on the planet for artificial intelligence, it started about 15 years ago when they. I don't know if you guys remember when they. Big Blue, the chess, the machine by IBM played the chess guys. That was the beginning of trying to make a machine, artificial intelligence, able to compute as fast as a human, right? And the first couple of matches, a human won, but now the machine is winning. And now on TV, 15 years later, you've got the commercial with the computers on the elevator. Who told you to come here? That guy did. The elevator will need help in 2 days. So now we're doing a lot of stuff relying upon a machine, which is getting smarter and smarter and smarter.
I have a whole one about the machines in a toilet.
Yeah!
You see that?
Yeah, that's a wild commercial because the machines leave the party and go to the bathroom to watch.
Because they want, that's their friend, the toilet. Their friends aren't the humans, but the toilet. But humans do come before and come in. They get to use the toilet first.
Yeah, it's. But so it's on the card right down. It's like you guys are, you know, speaking to the human race. You'll let robots and artificial intelligence evolve. Why don't you let us evolve? We're not restricted to swords and stuff, and the normal ways of doing things. Can you let us be free? I went. I hadn't thought about that before. And it was like, you understand artificial intelligence to a level, will you understand that we have creative intelligence, as in they were created by a creative being, and they've got the flexibility to adjust what's needed. And they don't need to be restrained by our mindsets and our limitations and our lack and our doubt. So let's start believing and let them be. So.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello!
Welcome, guys.
Hi.
So, that's what I got for, is there anything else? That story. That's what I got for the fourth session. Again, don't let this be the last time that you engage, seek, understand anything angelic or anything supernatural. This is just scratch the iceberg, and then there's a lot more, right? A lot more. Okay. Thank you for all those who actually did all four sessions. Thank you for those who, whatever y'all did, the Facebook people who endured. And so I'm going to turn off the recording. And turn that off for those who are shy when asked questions.